Yeah. Happy fucking happy hour. It's Hollywood super manager, producer Barry Katz.
Yes.
Who, more importantly, I thought was my next door neighbor, but apparently was not. Apparently rented the house that I rented in the Hollywood Hills many years ago.
Absolutely. It was beautiful.
Hello, Barry Katz.
How are you? Welcome. I had no idea there was alcohol involved.
Oh, there's a lot of alcohol. And if you don't drink that much, you need to swear even fucking more.
This is incredible. So this is all the stuff you can't do in the morning radio where you had me on.
Exactly. I know you're delicate, and you haven't been in a lot of comedy clubs, but there's a lot of fucking swearing here, Barry.
I won't be one of them that does that. I'm very conservative.
If you don't know who Barry Katz is, well, shame on you, you motherfuckers. He's you've launched the careers of, I guess, everybody. You're an iconic sort of manager, but film, TV, and producer. But you have to talk about some of the names. Dave Chappelle, Jay Maher, Dane Cook, Tracy Morgan, Bill Burr, Whitney Cummings, Bill Bellamy, Louis C.K. Yeah. Our happy hour is booked for years, Vanessa.
I know.
After this.
Hacks.
Okay.
Like, everybody. You've managed everybody, right?
I have not managed you.
And why is that, Barry? Because did you take one look at me when you rented my house? And no, she's not going anywhere.
Right.
She's going to end up in her basement.
No, actually, you want to know what I thought of you when I first met you?
Oh, dear.
Oh, do tell.
Okay.
You were the rarest of the rare, but I'm going to explain to your audience.
Uh-oh. Oh, dear.
You're an equal combination of the light and the darkness.
Oh.
And they smash together in the middle.
It's very compelling.
You're always fighting to push the darkness down, but the light comes up and it's always there in your smile and your charisma. But there was a very, very unique and powerful light and dark energy about you when I first
really.
Met. Am I wrong?
What was the dark?
I know.
Let's talk about the dark for a minute.
Well, on my podcast,
I'm the happy clappy
I don't have a sound effect board.
Yes.
This is, for those of you who can't see what's happening in here,
yes,
clearly you're not doing well. I'm in like a palatial mansion. I come in this place.
Right.
It's like this huge, this place where we're at is the size of my house here. And
right.
I said, well, is this the guest house? Oh, no. This is Stephanie's basement. Oh, okay, good. Basement.
It's my basement studio.
I don't even have a basement.
It's okay. My underground lair. Welcome.
It's unbelievable. You have the
thank
huge,
you.
Yeah, but
although you were already producing, you're like, why is that camera there? And then why is that blocking you? Why don't you move this? I'm like, listen, right. Hollywood motherfucker, just calm down. You're just a guest now.
I'm going to start drinking. You know, people ask me, do I drink often? I say no. You know, what's something that will shock you? I don't know if it'll shock you. I've never had a drink in front of my kids.
How old are your kids?
Now they're 12 and 13.
Wow.
And there's a reason for that.
Oh, what a phony motherfucker you are, because you drink. Hey, kids, if you're listening.
I am not. This is actually odd that I'm drinking now. This is exciting. I normally only drink when I'm across from somebody who I know won't take me home. Anyway, so
I've already taken you home.
You have.
You're already there.
I'm already home. Here. There's
my bedroom is steps away.
There's two dogs the size of literally the Kung Fu Panda in here. It's incredible. I've never seen anything like it. They're both passed out. Clearly, they've been drinking earlier than Stephanie.
Yeah, they start earlier than I do, but, you know.
But the reason why I don't
Donald
drink
in, president.
In front of the, hey, listen, 62
we'll get to that later.
Billion people clearly made a decision while they were drinking on your happy hour. So what I wanted to say is the reason why I don't drink in front of my kids is because if I don't drink in front of them, I know nothing bad can happen. If I drink in front of them, there's a chance something bad
really can nothing happen. Bad has ever happened to you sober, because a lot of shit's gone down when I'm sober.
All right, well, I'm going to start drinking.
See? I love that you brought coffee, and I'm like, drink? He's like, yes.
Oh, that's a great vintage.
It's a very nice Chardonnay.
Fantastic. We my vintage is normally you can clean the bathtub.
It's the only thing that saves me from being Kitty Dukakis is my wine snobbery. Otherwise, I'd be like, rubbing alcohol? Fine. Damn. Who's president?
Tell your audience what Kitty Dukakis was
Kitty
famous
Dukakis
for
was
doing.
Famous for drinking everything.
But,
Michael Dukakis'
but famous
wife.
For doing something to get alcohol out of something. Do you remember what she did?
No. Do you know a fun fact I don't know?
She bit into and tried to extract the alcohol from a deodorant.
Oh, that's fantastic. All right, Kitty, you got that on me. I've not gotten that bad yet. But you know what? We have a few more news cycles before today ends.
Right. The night is still young.
Exactly. So wait, so Barry, so let's go back. So you've managed everybody in the world. First of all, what did you mean about the dark? Now I'm fascinated. Because it's about myself. I'm like Donald Trump. I'm like, wait, let's talk more about me.
If you want to go there, I'd love to go there. Yeah.
But what I don't know.
But we could do it on my podcast.
Don't instead. You think I do a good job being happy, clappy, and covering?
First of all, it's very difficult being in the position you're in, knowing that a family member of yours was in a similar world that you dwell in.
Yes.
And that's very, very difficult, especially when the person's not here anymore to address, to talk to share things with.
That's right.
And that's where the beginning of the darkness comes.
Oh,
he's going to be Barbara Walters. He's going to make me cry. See what he does?
He's good. He's like the Oprah of podcasts.
That's right. Oh, I just snorted. Okay. My dad did that too. Barry, let's talk about... No, because you know, it's interesting because one of the... you're here to talk about one documentary, but you did another documentary, which was great, but it was called Misery Loves Comedy, an inside look at the dark side of stand-up, starring Tom Hanks, Larry David, Amy Schumer, etc. And the funny thing is people always say, like, oh, doesn't it come from pain? Like, all good comedy comes from pain and anger. And I never actually thought so with me. Like, I had a good childhood. I didn't feel like it came from that I'm angry. In fact, I always felt like, at least when I was younger, I always felt like I was funnier when I was happier. Do you know what I mean? Like, when I was depressed, I felt like, you know, you rise above it because you have to, right? The red light goes on, you gotta whatever. But I don't know if that's true of every comedian. Do you think so?
Well, I don't think it's true of every comedian. Like, Jerry is, you know, I don't think he had that much darkness. But, you know, what's weird, everybody asks me, like, how do you get people to do a documentary like that? You know, Tom Hanks cost $20 million, $30 million, $40 million. Right. Amy Schumer, $20 million. What's interesting... Right. Just do a documentary. There's something about a documentary. You approach a big star.
Seems fancy.
It's like $6 and a bucket of chicken and a glass of Chardonnay. Okay, we'll be there.
Yeah.
But, you know.
I got you here with a glass of Chardonnay. I didn't even have chicken.
And that's more than I've ever gotten. But
chicken's coming later, though.
But in terms of you, I just want to share with you, it wasn't something that every great artist has the hole blown through them. And that's what makes them really, really great, most of them. And your hole that was blown through you was your dad. And that was the thing.
But
that,
in what way? What do you mean?
When you lose somebody you don't want to lose and you haven't figured everything out yet. You haven't had every conversation you want to have. You haven't told them exactly how you feel about them.
Yeah, I lost him when I was 21, so yeah, I lost him. For me, young. I mean, people obviously lost people a lot younger.
And that's where you started... you know, I can guarantee you your career and your thoughts and everything started from that.
Yeah. Yeah, I get, well, no, I mean, I knew I wanted to be a comedian before that, but yeah, I get what you mean. So what attracted you to, I mean...
To you?
How? Yes. Yes, Barry, that's what I was saying. So wait, we have to tell the story. So when I first moved out here, when the hell was that? It was like late?
You said late?
No, early 90s. And I rented a house in Hollywood Hills, and next door to me was Jay Maher.
It was the road.
Alan Murray. It was a whole bunch of comedians.
Todd Glass, Dave Rath, who was a great manager.
Yes.
And it was the street, actually, where Houdini, he lived when he was living.
Right.
One of his houses was at the foot of this Willow Glen off of Laurel Canyon.
Right.
And when Jay and I were looking to rent the house first coming here, Jay Moore, I looked at places. I went to look at your place. I loved it. You were there when I looked at it. It was beautiful. You had pictures of your dad and all these different things on the wall.
Right.
And I really felt special about it. And I realized after you gave us the ringing endorsement to go in there, I realized that the place would never, ever look as nice as it did when you were there.
Well, I'm a girl. You're a dude. Dudes are like bears, right? Probably looked like fucking Revenant in there when I left, right?
I'm actually very, very neat, but that's me.
No, because and I misremembered. It was a long time ago, but I forgot. I thought it was, but that's right. You know what I was thinking is Dave Rath was the manager that lived next door. So you, and you were, okay. So that's what I met you sort of around that same time and blah, blah, blah. So yeah, it, yeah, interesting. But anyway, yeah, it was like a comedy boy frat house next door.
Wow.
Yeah.
It, it really was. I remember, I he'll probably be mad at me for saying this, but I remember like, you know, Todd Glass was just an amazing kind of unique comedy talent. Like nobody else you could, I guess nothing to describe him. And he's, and you'd go to the house. I don't know if you can visualize this, but you'd go to the house, you'd open up the front door and there'd be a stairway going up to the left. And right as you were facing, before you went up the stairway, there was a like a curtain that hung down.
Right.
And I always wondered what that was. And one day I came in and nobody was around and I opened up the curtain and Todd Glass was sleeping in like a single bed behind that curtain in that space there. That was his bedroom. And the more I lived there, I would, you know, be out on the balcony late at night and I'd hear somebody coming out of the house and I'd kind of just sit back and it would be him walking out in his bathrobe, peeing in the bushes and then just walking back in.
Like a bear. See
right.
what I mean?
Right.
See what I fucking mean, Vanessa?
And one night it was crazy. I heard some rustling. I heard him rustling, bear. I heard him come out of the house and I thought it was him, but it was a police officer.
Oh, dear.
And but then I saw that the police officer was getting in Todd's car, and I noticed through the moonlight that it was Todd dressed in a police officer's uniform going into the car, and it like wasn't Halloween. And I went up to the balcony and said, "Hey, Todd, what are you doing?" And he was like, he was shocked. He was like, And it's one of those moments when you confront somebody with something, and they just have to tell the truth,
right?
And he said, "Listen, I don't have to tell you this. Sometimes on Saturday nights, I like to have some fun." And I like to go out in a police officer uniform and just knock on cars' doors and tell them I'm a police officer and their headlights out or something like that and have fun with them.
Oh, shit. That's great.
Okay, that's... Isn't that a Kevin Hart movie? Didn't you manage... Wait a minute, you stole that idea. So, but wait.
I have interviewed Kevin Hart for my podcast.
I know, you've interviewed everybody. Vanessa, get some numbers.
I've been trying to interview you, but
Jack his phone.
You won't come in.
I will. Jack his phone. He's interviewed
from Los Feliz.
You've interviewed Judd Apatow, Dr. Phil, noted doctor of bullshitology, Dennis Rodman, Gary Marshall. Now, if you can get us Gary Marshall, that would really be something.
I could try. I did his last interview ever.
I've had him on my show. He was the nicest man, as you know.
He never came out to Los Feliz to do a podcast, did he?
He was on the phone for the radio show in the morning. Yes. Sweet man. Wait, so... all right, wait. So
I did another guy who passed away. Can I just tell this quick story? You'll love this.
Have you killed any of these people? Has anyone interviewed you? Are you under suspicion?
I am not under suspicion until after this podcast is over.
Where do you live now?
You know, so I live in Malibu. You know, so weird.
Malibu? Oh, that's a long way away. I can't go there.
Oh, wow.
Well, imagine how I felt coming here.
All right, well.
Sitting in this chair staring at you naked.
We have a happy
in this
hour.
Book here. You got 17
after party.
Books here. That say
I've got
sexy
chicken.
Liberal of me, I sing, Stephanie Miller.
Yes, number one,
looking
Amazon.
Looking at your stomach, you could just literally circumcise a small Jewish boy off your stomach here. It's unbelievable.
I have done that. How did you know that?
Incredible.
Some of the comics you've managed, I've circumcised their penises on my stomach.
Oh, that's fantastic.
You're welcome. Barry.
Oh, the story I wanted to tell you about. So Chris Thompson, who was the Happy Days.
Yes.
He worked on Happy Days.
And you killed him. Before or after you killed Gary Marshall?
Where did he work? Anyway, he worked on a lot of shows. But I just have to share this with you. He worked on Laverne and Shirley.
Okay.
And Penny Marshall and...
Yeah.
Cindy Williams.
Cindy Williams, thank you.
Were very difficult to him.
Yeah.
And they were very, very difficult. And so one day they were particularly cruel to him after a table read. And he just went to the other executive producer. He said, "Listen, I'm not feeling well. You know, I'm kind of down. Right. I'm just going to, could you take over today?
I'm just going to kill myself. Can't work with Laverne or Shirley."
And he leaves, and he gets in his car, and he drives to the airport and gets a one-way ticket to Tahiti. Okay? So he's going there. Fantastic. He's staying on one of those, you know, those huts
above the
on
water.
A dock
I've
above
been there.
The water.
Yes.
There's no one there. The next day, he's sleeping naked on the beach. This is the power of Hollywood.
Yeah.
He hasn't said anything to anybody. He hasn't told anybody anything. He hears a powerboat coming towards him. He's like, what is going on? There's nobody here. And then all of a sudden, he hears a megaphone. Mr. Thompson! Mr. Thompson, I have Penny Marshall on the ship-to-shore radio. I have Penny Marshall on the ship-to-shore radio. He gets up. He's naked.
Wow.
He's freaking out. He runs to his hut. He grabs all the money on his nightstand. He swims out. You know, you do sideways crawl swimming out so you don't have the money. He gets to the boat where the guy is. He grabs the guy by the lapel and brings him towards him and takes his other finger in the shush motion. And he hands him the money and he says, you never fucking found me.
Wow.
Don't you guys feel better about who you work with? Like, you wouldn't probably go to those extremes, would you?
No. I've done enough damage already.
These people are very happy, well-fed, and drunk. They're happy. They're producers.
Wow. That is somebody that's hard to work with.
Yes.
Say I'm dead. So wait, Barry, catch me up to date from my house to your house. Wait, so I was renting it, and you rented it too, the same house, right?
No, you left the house, and you were leaving.
I was only renting it, though, so
yeah.
You rented it, yeah.
And then we rented it afterwards.
Okay, got it. Wait, you and who else?
Jay Moore.
Oh, okay, so he moved from next door to...
No, he never was next door. We
I'm
were at
confused
a
confused about
okay.
the whole thing.
Next door was a house full of comedians, but not us.
Okay, got it.
We got a tip from them next door that your house was for rent. So
yes.
That's when I looked at it, and
got
that's
it.
When I rented it.
Now I remember. Okay. But so wait. Now tell me, you mentioned you have children and you don't drink in front of them because you're a giant hypocrite. Now let's get up to date. Was this so? Are you still married to their mom or no?
No, I've been divorced for 4 years, but I'm still happy. Happy ex-wife, happy life. That's my advice.
Okay. Oh, fantastic. Isn't that lovely? So how are things going now? Are you dating?
No,
girlfriend?
I don't go out with anybody.
Done? First marriage? Last marriage done? What?
This is the thing, and maybe it's wrong, but I'm just going to share it with you
and
your audience.
Please.
Okay?
Yes.
Sure. When you meet an extraordinary person, like let's say yourself or your executive producer, Vanessa.
Oh, please, enough with her. I've been through enough with men.
Thanks.
Using me to get to Vanessa. Go ahead.
Thanks, Barry.
What happens is, you're welcome. What happens is that person deserves to be, if I could use a Hollywood term, number one on the call sheet.
Right.
And the way my life is structured now with the kids and and the work, I don't think anybody could be number one on the call sheet. I don't think that's fair. So I would rather be a eunuch and just alone.
Oh, no. Oh, my God. You and I, maybe that's my plan now, to die alone and be eaten by my dogs.
That's a good plan. We could actually Skype together.
So, how long were you married?
I was married for 13 years.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
And a really talented person.
What went awry? You asked if I knew her. I don't know her.
Her name is Susanna Briss. Very talented writer, comedian, actress. Tested for SNL a few years back.
Oh, wow.
She's one of the most talented people I ever met.
Oh, wow.
Very funny, unique.
I probably would know if I saw her. I retain very little information, like the fact that you actually rented my house and not the house next door, and also that we had a touching conversation about my father.
I'm sorry, I'm not memorable.
you're like that Russian ambassador, Kislyak. No one remembers that fucking guy.
No, I remember you.
I'm the guy who Trump pushed aside.
Oh, my God. As we're taping this... Yeah. What a fucking asshole. I can't. I cannot take the stress of this anymore. He's the biggest fucking asshole in the world. He physically pushed
the leader of Montenegro who
aside
just,
and then he fucking please don't made
use
some
that kind of
oh my god
here.
And you know about lame jokes. He makes some, first of all, he tells everyone in NATO to pay up on the anniversary of when they formed the alliance that helped us after 9/11. And then he makes some lame goddamn joke about, oh, I didn't say anything about how much the NATO building cost. Have you ever seen fucking crickets like that? Yeah. Holy fucking shit, man. Everybody was like, what a dick.
So embarrassed.
That was like, it was like Michael Richards' night at the Laugh Factory. That was freaking bad, man.
But for some reason, 62 million people voted for.
I don't know about that. We'll see. By the time this whole thing...
Let's pretend that 50 million voted for him. That's still a lot of people.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Although, I don't know, what is approval rating is down to now? What, 35%, 20% approve of Trump care?
And you know what we're going to talk about today is, Trump, there's a lot of similarities between Trump and the person we're going to talk about today in
who?
The documentary.
Who are we talking about?
JFK.
Oh, look at him producing me.
Oh. Yeah,
not I'm not producing you. You said that like 7 times. You have a complex about, there are producers here who are very talented. One is the size of a Hummel. And
right?
The other guy is
right?
wearing
She's like a figurine.
The
She's
other
not
guy
even...
is wearing a shirt that looks like he should be in the backwoods somewhere.
Oh my God, really? Are you going to snap on my producers? Really? Are you going to...
I enjoyed. He's funny.
Are you going to do a thing about Paul Bunyan needs that shirt back
no,
by five?
No, actually...
No, you're not going to do that to my producer about...
I actually wear a shirt like that, but not to my podcast.
How dare you, sir? How dare you?
I eat once a year, thank you very much.
How dare you, sir? He is much bigger than a Hummel figurine.
The actual amount of wine in this glass is her full liquid body weight.
See how we're family? Like, I give you guys shit, and then so when everyone else gives you shit, I'm like, how dare you, sir? I will challenge you to a duel.
That's why I did it, because I want to see you back them up. I know what's happening.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about what you would like to talk about, Barry, your documentary.
Wait, he's not mad at me. Are you not mad at me? Are you?
No, I actually.
Yeah, he found it in the woods. He found it in the woods right across the street.
And I survive on
whiskey. Are you kidding on what I pay for? Pay them? I can't feed her. She can't feed herself. He can't clothe himself. I'm doing a good job. I'm just kidding.
What's
Barry?
What's the least used button on that board? Could you just press
that's
it for the
question.
One you use the least?
Barry, that's a great question.
That's a great question. Let me look, Barry. Let me look. Hang on. Let me put this while I look. Which one? The one that doesn't have any makeup on it.
Right.
Very funny.
Well, the
this
breaking
guy.
News one is almost. It has so much makeup on it because there's so much breaking news every goddamn.
Minister.
Let me see. What do you think? What do you think is my favorite? I don't know. Hang on.
No, your
on.
Least favorite.
No, no, not my least favorite.
Yeah, the one you use the least.
Yeah. Which one do you?
Oh, applause is definitely your number one.
Yeah, that's my number one. You know, I should use this more.
Right-wing hypocrites!
I don't use that enough for how much fucking shit's going on, right? You're right. Thank you, Barry, for producing my box. Thank you for that.
You know, a person could take that two ways.
Really? I don't understand what you mean.
I'm sure you only meant it one way, though.
He's good.
I may still have liked Wiener back when I knew you. It's hard to say. Barry, let's talk about...
It's about JFK.
Your new documentary, I Killed JFK. All right, so Jim Ward, my co-host, is JFK conspiracy nut. But first of all, I am concerned this is on Newsmax because...
No, this was... I'll explain to you what happened.
Okay, explain it.
Like 4 years ago, there was a 50th anniversary of JFK, and I did a 38-minute documentary about JFK around a theme, a part of this documentary.
Right.
And I... did that for a year, and then for the last 4 years or 3 or 4 years, I've been working towards doing this other documentary that has themes of it, but it has so many more things inside of it than
right.
that did. And so
I just was concerned that you're a right wing fuckwad. That's not the case, because I was like, "What Newsmax? What the fuck?"
No, Newsmax was like a I think it was like a very young network at the time. And I knew I could do this thing and get it on and make an impact with them. It was their highest rated original program.
Right.
And then it inspired me to do something much bigger and much better with the subject with
right.
for theatrical. And that's what
I did. Listen, we've all drawn enemy lines now.
So Jim Ward says it's not Lee Harvey Oswald.
Well, that's what your thing says. That's what your documentary says. Until now, no living person has ever confessed to the murder of JFK. I'm confident the greatest mystery of my generation will be solved.
That is correct.
So it's not Lee Harvey Oswald.
No, it's not Lee Harvey Oswald. And if you want me to explain, I'll explain.
Yes, that's what Jim Ward says every day. Trust me. Say one thing to Jim Ward. You got to sit for an hour.
Now, I'm afraid to tell you the story because you'll tell me that I'm producing your show, and I don't want to.
No. You go ahead and produce our show. Vanessa and I are both tired. None of us want to produce the show now.
All right.
Fantastic. It's all yours.
So basically, I'm a comedy guy. Yeah. I started as a stand-up comic. Right. I managed comedians. Right. I produced TV and film comedy. That's all I ever do. I'm reaching for more wine, which shows you that she could have me on heroin in a week.
Totally my goal. All right.
You know what's weird? The wine just spills inside the soundboard and nothing happens. It's incredible. She's had it hermetically sealed.
It's you know what? It's developed immunity to that.
So as all of us do, we sometimes get phone calls from people saying, you know, that we believe in or that we know in the business that say, hey, we want you to take a look at something. And this person said, somebody's going to come to your office, show you something.
Yeah.
You're not going to talk to them. They're not going to say anything to you. They're going to open up their laptop and that's it. And it's going to be some special stuff in there and he's going to leave. And so that's what happened. And
wow.
It was all these rare interviews of people who, some of which had been killed or died mysteriously.
Yeah. Like Russians.
No, Americans who knew about what was
happening.
No, I'm
sorry. That was a Trump joke.
I'm sorry.
That was a Trump joke. I apologize. Go ahead.
And so I was blown away by it, and I searched all over to find out who owned any of this footage. And there was a guy in Amsterdam, and I flew to Amsterdam. I got the rights to this guy who dedicated his life to this kind of topic. And he gave me all these interviews and these half-form documentaries.
Yeah.
And I took all of them, and I made my own documentary. And that's what's in theaters this Wednesday, the 31st, for One Night Only.
Oh, One Night Only. One Night Only. So wait, and how do we, well, we'll link to all this, but on
ikilljfk.com. You can find a theater near you, and you can go. But again, it's only One Night Only, so there's limited tickets in every city. Like, for instance, if you want to see it in L.A., it's like in downtown L.A., there's only one theater, so there's not a lot of seats.
Yeah. Well, and because it's, you know, his 100th anniversary, and as I was saying, we were marking the 100-day mark of Trump, or as we call it, Scam-a-lot, or Crap-a-lot.
And there's a lot of similarities between Trump and JFK that you
really don't
think about. And I if you'll oblige me,
like,
I'll share them with
you. Sure, do tell, because I need to know this.
Please do tell.
Okay, so today, what happens is there's so much news and so, my God, the Shetland pony has
Max,
spoken.
Feel free to eat him if he says the wrong thing just now.
That is incredible. You know, you never want to see a dog who has a unit or cash and prizes that are larger than your own. It's, it's frightening.
Yeah.
The only difference is he doesn't groom.
Don't be nervous. Go ahead.
I love that dog. So what happens is, so with Kennedy, back then, the FBI, the CIA, the Cubans, the Russians, everybody was against the guy, and everybody didn't like him, and everybody wanted him out.
Right.
And it's very similar with Trump. It's just back then, there was no news reporting. You had no way to tell people what was going on.
Yeah.
So it's the same with the Zapruder film.
And wait, the huge difference is he was beloved by the American people, largely.
He was not beloved by the American people because he only won the election by a very, very small margin.
Well, okay.
It's same
but
as
what
Trump.
I'm
he only
is,
won the margin by a very small
victory.
Yeah,
but what I'm saying is, you know,
I know
it's hard to compare because
when people,
Donald Trump is a giant, he's a giant
when people,
traitorous asshole.
When people die, they become beloved.
I get it.
But the thing
but he was, also, even when he was in, it was that's what the Legend of Camelot was about.
Yeah, but
it
I'm,
was this young, beautiful president with this young, beautiful family and all the promise and the things that he, you know,
absolutely.
Was trying
but
to
encouraging words,
but
civil rights.
But the fact was people didn't like him back then. And they didn't like him just as much as they didn't like Trump. You just didn't hear about it because there were only three news stations and they weren't reporting on that. Same with the evidence of, you talk about Lee Harvey Oswald. Everybody feels like he was the killer because that's what was sold to the American people. Because the Zapruder film, which everybody's seen, which is the most watched short film in the history of the world, clearly shows when you watch the film, anyone can go to YouTube, just slow it down frame by frame. You can see that the Kennedy was shot in the head, shot in the back first, in the head, and then from the back, and then from the front. Okay, but no one had access to the Zapruder film like YouTube today.
Right.
So the American people never saw that.
Right.
So the Warren Commission came together and they made a 700-800-pound document that said there was one shooter from the back, and it was Lee Harvey Oswald, who they found in a movie theater in the middle of the day.
Right.
If you know anything, if anybody listening knows anything about finding somebody who committed any kind of crime or murder, You don't solve the crime in 2 hours. You don't get somebody in 2 hours.
Well, Jessica Fletcher did.
Yes.
Probably. In Angela Lansbury's defense.
Probably. Yeah, you're
technically
right.
Technically, right.
And so that's what the issues are. And so what happened is I also got a chance to interview 5 of the remaining living people who were experts on JFK. And I did that a couple of weeks ago, and I edited that together. And that's going to be after the film.
Right.
And that was some of the most fascinating stuff, because the national security advisor for 5 presidents, this guy Gordon Ferry, you know, you're talking to people who are not, these people aren't stiffs. These people aren't people who are just hanging. These are reputable people. This is, you know, you're not the national security advisor for 5 presidents because you're, you know, unstable or you're not capable of telling what's, there's no reason for the guy to say what he said and the things that he said to me. And this other guy, Jim Mars, who was there in 63 and was reporting for the Dallas, I think, Morning Star, one of the Dallas papers. And one of the things he said to me that was so interesting, and it was so profound, he said, listen, just because, you know, you show this confession of this guy, the only guy that ever admitted to killing Kennedy, or even if somebody believes that it's Lee Harvey Oswald that did it to this day, the fact is, Barry, any nut can kill anybody. It's who has the power to cover it up for 54 years.
Right. Well, I'd forgotten. I had to, honestly, I'm the opposite of Jim. I just haven't researched any of this. I'm just not, you know. But I had forgotten. You, in 1978, there was another House Select Committee that said there was a second gunman and the assassination was the result of a conspiracy after all, but they named no names other than Oswald's. So, I mean, because I think that, and obviously Jack Ruby was in organized crime. So, because who you're saying, it was a mob guy that killed him.
Yeah, so.
And so it would make sense that the guy that killed him was a mob guy, right?
It there's usually, when you see like a History Channel, all these timelines, they have, you know, Harvey Oswald leaving the observatory, going to, she shot the cop that died. And then he was end up somehow in the theater. So it just totally throws off that timeline then.
Yeah, people saw him in the lunchroom 90 minutes before the shots of the Book Depository.
Right.
It's like, it's clear he was going to the movie theater to meet somebody, to take him somewhere, and he was set up.
Right.
But I mean, no matter what you believe, if you go to this documentary on Wednesday, it's just the 31st, it'll show you so many different opinions. There's 20 different people that I interviewed.
Right.
They're all reputable people. Their stories tie together. And the person who is the admitted killer to JFK, I mean, the things that he says, you can't, it's you know when people are lying.
Right.
There's no way this guy is lying.
This was
As a matter of fact, this guy, when he had a thing, when he worked for the mob in Chicago.
Right.
And he had a thing where
His name is James Files. He was a major, he worked alongside major mob figures. This is what they had reported previously, right? The film presents compelling forensic and eyewitness evidence previously unavailable.
Yeah,
right.
And other many, many more new footage around it.
Right.
But he was a guy who was a runner for the mob. He came to Dallas to be a driver for Chuck Nicoletti and Johnny Roselli, who were the two guys down there who were going to be two of the shooters.
Right.
And so what happened was first time he drove one of them was to a diner where they met Jack Ruby. And Jack Ruby, who is the guy who killed Oswald in the police station, who had ties to the Chicago mob and owned a local strip club, he handed them an envelope. In the envelope was the new route to Dealey Square, the presidential motorcade, which was rerouted.
Right.
Why it was rerouted, who knows? Why would they reroute it? But it was rerouted.
And how did Ruby get into the police station? I never...
This is another fascinating thing. Ruby owned the local strip club, and all the guys in the police station came to the strip club, and he took care of them.
Right.
And so he had easy access to the police station.
Yeah.
What's more crazy when you think about it is that this is a guy who spent every day around money and nude women.
Yeah.
Yet he made a decision to go into a police station and kill somebody. When is the last time anyone in your audience has ever heard of anybody going in a police station and killing somebody? You go into a police station and kill somebody, you're essentially saying, I guess I'm going to spend the rest of my life
right.
in jail.
Right. Right.
So somebody had
but
to convince him to do that.
Right. But obviously the whole thing was that they were mad that Bobby Kennedy was going after the mob.
Well, that's the thing. For you historians out there, there were many factions that didn't like Kennedy, and this is why.
Right.
The Cubans didn't like Kennedy because of how he handled the Bay of Pigs. I'm not going to get into it. You can look it up.
Right.
The mob didn't like Kennedy because his father promised Sam Giancana that he would leave them alone if he helped Kennedy win Illinois, which would carry him to win the presidency. Kennedy won Illinois, and then he hired his brother Robert Kennedy as the attorney general, and the first thing Robert Kennedy did was he went after the Chicago mob. So that's yeah. that. The CIA didn't like Kennedy because of how he was handling things internally.
But the Federal Reserve didn't like Kennedy,
and the FBI didn't like him because J. Edgar Hoover wanted to restructure the whole FBI and get him out of there. And LBJ didn't like Kennedy. He hated his brother, and he wanted to be president. He didn't want to be vice president. He was given $8 million. $8 million
LBJ?
To take the vice presidency.
I'm all down with hating LBJ because he beat my dad, so... Let's hear about that. And he played grab ass with my mom once.
What?
I've told you that story.
He played grab ass with a lot of people. He was very
right?
He was very fond of his himself
Johnson.
From the waist down. His
so to
LB
speak.
Johnson was
right.
Very big fan of his Johnson. He used to walk around sometimes on the White House lawn. He'd have the security around him, and he'd just pee right on the lawn. He'd just
yeah.
take it out and
yeah.
pee around.
Classy.
The lawn.
And we thought Trump was the unclassiest motherfucker. Wait, so. So was it just the mob, though, in your opinion? I mean, because you're going, he was the actual shooter that killed him, but...
Well, you just have to look at, he knows that his friend who worked with him was in the Dow Tech building, not the Chicago, Texas book
right.
depository, in the
right.
Dow Tech building. That's where they decided that guy would be. The other shooter came that morning to Dealey Plaza
right.
and told him, listen, the CIA has called off the hit. This is what he shares with the audience in the
right.
documentary. I'm not going to be a shooter. And he said to the other guy, well, why are we here? And the guy said, fuck him. I came to do a job. I'm going to do a job. Will you be my backup?
The mob guy.
Yes.
That you were, okay.
And so he talks to the guy who is this documentary is around. He says, where would you be the backup? He said, well, I would be on the grassy knoll. And they walked back there, and he looks and he says, I don't understand. Why would you be here? There's that sign that's the obstruction. You'll only get one shot before he goes down the freeway. He says, all I need is one shot. If you don't hit him in the head, all I need is one shot. I'm 50 yards away. It's easy. It'll look like 6 feet away in my scope. And with something that is
yeah.
a fascinating fact that he said, which blew me away, he said that when he had Kennedy in his sights, he said that he could see that he'd been hit because he brought his hands up to his throat.
So wait, okay, can you, because I'm sorry, I'm not
no problem.
Aficionado of the JFK stuff at all. So what, who hit him first then?
I'm going to tell you.
Okay.
So the other guy, I don't want to mention too many names because you'll see it in the documentary.
All right.
So one guy, there's three guys down there. The killer... was a runner. He was a driver. He also was there.
This is your mob guy
yeah,
that was on the grassy knoll.
Also, there was
okay.
there the caliber.
But he
weapon.
Hit him after the others had hit him. Okay.
So the other guy was in the Dow Tech building. So when Kennedy, when you see the Zapruder film and when you watch on your YouTube video, you'll see there's going to be a street sign. Before Kennedy comes to the street sign in the motorcade, he's smiling. When he's coming out of the street sign, if you slow it down, he's got his hands to his throat. Clenched, which is a universal thing. If there's anybody in medicine out there, when you get hit in the back by the spine or you're choking, you put your hands up like that. He was hit in the back by a bullet that came through
from
his
where?
Throat. From the Dow Tech building.
From who? Mob?
From the other, yeah, the other guy.
Mob, but
okay,
also
yeah.
mob guy.
Yes.
Okay.
So then if you slow it down frame by frame, you can see that Kennedy's hit on the top of the head by a bullet.
Right.
There's a spray, and then a split second later, and after the head goes forward a little bit, he gets shot in the temple from from the side and his head gets blown back. And the law of physics, the way it works, you get hit from the back, your head goes forward, you hit him from the front, your head goes back. And so when he got in the car with this guy afterwards, the guy was angry at him. He said, "What the fuck did you do? Why did you shoot him? I shot him." He said, I he came back from the sign and there was no, I could see he was hit. And then as he was pulling the trigger, that's when the guy hit him on the top of the head, just as he was pulling the trigger. So that's why you see that reaction where Kennedy's head goes forward and immediately goes back. Yeah. But the guy was pissed off because he said, "Listen, I shot him." And when you tell this killer, you say, "Hey, you killed JFK," he says, "Hey, listen, I don't, you know, I don't know if I killed him. I mean, he could have died from the first bullet. But clearly that last bullet is the one."
But all mob guys. I mean, all mob guys.
Yes, but that doesn't mean he's not discounting the fact, because he was only in connection with the CIA and the mob.
Yeah.
He wasn't, you know, talking to the Russians. He wasn't talking to other factions of government. He wasn't talking to other people that might have been around that didn't like him.
Yeah.
So there, who knows? There might have been somebody else taking shots. But when you look at the trajectory of the shots and how they came, there's three shots that came from the back.
Yeah.
One hit Kennedy in the, at least three. One hit Kennedy in the back that went through his throat.
Yeah.
One hit him at the top of the head. And one hit the ground and hit a bystander. And then they believe that the bullet that went through Kennedy's throat actually went through the seat and hit Connolly as well.
Right.
And that's the magic bullet that did all that sideways damage and whatever it was.
Yeah.
But you
yeah.
can see in the video where Connolly's jacket moves, where he's been hit. You can see him turning his head. You can see everything. So it's fascinating. And coming from a comedy guy, I'm all about... like you, I don't mean to bore you, but it's all about the stories. And to me, I've always loved stories. A great book has a great story. A great song has a great story. Your podcast has great stories. And these people are hurting, and they have great stories. And I wanted to give them the opportunity to tell their story. And whether it's for 100,000 people or 500,000 or a million or less, they deserve to have their story told, because so many people have been silent.
Well, as you said, too, it's the greatest mystery of our generation.
The greatest murder mystery in the history of the world.
Yeah. Except, what was it like to live in Stephanie Miller's house?
I don't want to tell you what I found in the house of yours.
What did you?
Suffice to say, full back is not in your vocabulary.
What? What does that mean?
Anyway, let's keep going.
What does full back mean?
What?
What does that mean? I have no idea what that means.
When do you hear the words full back when you're buying anything?
What's full back? I have no idea what that means.
Really?
Yeah. What does it mean? Our food's here, so you're going to have to tell us quickly.
Have you ever heard of full back panties?
No.
So it's just like a really high-waisted...
Oh, big ladies' like, panties?
Just full back panties.
Yeah, so they're not like... They're just
No.
So I said that full back panties...
No, I never fucked any full back panties woman. That's why I don't know where it was.
Well, there you go.
Maybe my mom's. Who knows? All right. but my mom's not heavy either.
I said full back panties were not in your vocabulary, which means you didn't use them.
Oh. I don't wear panties at all. If anyone, if you've ever listened to the show, you know that. I'm commando.
Then there's somebody in the house.
Barry, you'll find out at the after party. Let's go. Your chicken's here.
My chicken's here?
Barry Katz. How do we do? IKillJFK.com.
IKillJFK.com. This has been one of the most unbelievable experiences
I've ever had
in the podcast.
It's a little weird.
It's incredible. I never had this kind of energy before.
Right. I think we're gonna. You know what? We're gonna consummate whatever we started back in our rental house.
I just don't.
We were meant to live together. Let's go upstairs and see what it'd be like.
It's so horrible
Let's
to tell you this. I hate to tell you this, but
please do.
I don't want to leave.
No, I'm having an after party. Come on. I always do. My friends are here to meet you.
I can't do it. I already met your two hairy friends.
Come on. Whatever. Do you have parental duties? What's your deal?
I do have parental duties.
Whatever the fuck. All right.
What? You don't have any children that you know of?
No. I'm a childless loser. But you can go to IKillJFK.com and see Barry's fantastic film.
I'm
going to
check it out.
This Wednesday, one night only, please. It will change your life forever.
It will change your life.
I guarantee you. Just like this experience has changed mine.
Me too.
I'm going commando from now on after this podcast.
Yeah. Check it out. All right. Love you, Barry Katz. Happy
hour. Thank you so much. Love you, too.